Brighton Festival 2018.
When Craig Melvin said to me that you'd moved to town and maybe it'd be a good idea if you were guest director one day, I thought that was probably a very good idea. But what prompted you to say yes?
Well, Craig is a writer who's lived in Brighton for many years, who oddly used to live in Glasgow many, many years ago in a former life. And we kept in touch, and he was my only friend when Kim and I moved to Brighton. And he said, I think it was at the time that Ali Smith was the guest director, and he said, "Oh, you could do that." And I was like, "Really?" I said, yeah, I know this Andrew, who's the director. I'll ask him, shall I? And I was like, "Yeah, okay, I'll do that." So I didn't realise that I would be considered, and I'm incredibly flattered to have been asked and to be here now. But I think the reason why I was really excited about it is because I made a commitment to Brighton. I'm not somebody who gets on the train and goes to London every day. My studio is here, and I guess I'm trying to build an art practice here, which takes a long time. I lived in Glasgow for best part of 30 years, so I'm really keen to make, on a practical level, but just on an emotional level and a creative level, to make that connection with Brighton and to really base my creative life here. So doing a project like this is just a wonderful opportunity to meet people, to enhance my practice, to make a work for the festival, to make quite a number of works, which is just a great opportunity. But also, I'm a punter as well. So I every year I'm sort of like, you know, I'm walking the dog in the park, and people say, "Oh, did you go to, you know, this thing that was so fantastic?" And I was like, "No, we were away. I missed it." So I think this year is the one year where I'm going to go and see everything. I'm going to be here, and I'm not going to miss anything.
I think that's compulsory,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
What do you think about the place? Then, what's special to you about Brighton? Why here? Why move here from Glasgow?
Well, I guess there comes a time for a change in anybody's life, and I guess for us it was a time for a change. I've always loved Brighton. My sister used to live here in the 1990s when I was up in Glasgow, and I used to come down and stay here when I had things to do in London and would go up. I think Brighton, for me, is a bit like when I'm abroad and travelling, I say I live in Brighton. They're like, "Oh, what's it like there?" And I say, "I don't know, it's like the Bay Area of the UK kind of thing. It's like San Francisco." Not just because of the LGBT community, but because of a general attitude where a lot of creative, progressive people live here. And I guess it's my kind of town, both just creatively, politically. I think it punches above its weight culturally. And I, having sort of spent all my adult life in Glasgow is a place that has a massive reputation in terms of culture. But then it's also three times the size of Brighton, and Brighton is still a nascent city. So I think that the fact that it has become very important culturally is a really attractive factor relocating here.
And you're a Whitehawk supporter as well, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, I've become a Whitehawk. That's part of my cultural introduction to Glasgow. I'm a bit of a football fanatic. And living in Kemp Town, and just a really refreshing attitude to being a football fan, and making football a more inclusive activity is something that I've really enjoyed.
I think I've not, to my shame, in 10 years, I've not attended a Whitehawk match, so I think that's something I'm going to have to make good on with you, isn't it?
Yes, when the weather's better, maybe.
Very good. Peter talked about the Arts, Health and Wellbeing report that you contributed to, and obviously this is a sort of running thread. You're someone who believes in the power and importance of the arts. What do you think a festival like this can bring to communities?
I think that sometimes when you live in a place, you don't necessarily, you're given this amazing festival, and you perhaps don't always appreciate how vast it is, how special it is. It wouldn't be until, if you could go and move to another provincial city in the UK, and then you'd realise how wonderful the festival is. I think what I like about the festival, albeit I've only really been to see a lot of things in a couple of festivals since moving here, is the fact that there are a really diverse group of people who go. You know, it's not just people like us who go, who are professional people within the arts. People just go out of interest, and I think people have a people are more open-minded. Maybe that's unfair. People who live in other places, but I think people understand. People in Brighton have understand the value of the festival, and understand that it is can be wonderfully entertaining, and it's an opportunity to see things on your doorstep.
I think something that you've really brought for us this year is that generosity and inclusivity in the festival. The likes of Life Model 2 that that Peter again mentioned that will be at Fabrica feels like an incredibly generous gesture almost to the city, and an invitation for everybody to be involved.
Well, I thought it was an appropriate piece to show. It's because it's an exhibition that begets another exhibition, so that the three-dimensional work in the show, the Life Model, which is sort of a robot that blinks. So it's a sculpture of somebody trying to stand still, which is a good thing to make a sculpture of when you think about it. The actual two-dimensional art is made by the visitors to the exhibition. I showed the original incarnation of the work in the Turner Prize show because I thought that was the Turner Prize. I suppose the arts are, visual art particularly often, people see it as being elitist and inaccessible. And I suppose that's what the piece is about, is that the art is for everybody, and making art is also for everybody as well. Mm. But it's a therapeutic thing. It's something that can make you happy. And that for some reason, in terms of our education, the majority of us are dissuaded from making art. As when we go into adulthood, we stop making it when we're about 10. Because we think we're not good at drawing. But I guess I'm a person who has built a career around not demonstrating many craft skills, So that for me is some kind of redress, and there's something positive and joyful in that redress.
Yeah. I've skipped ahead, so let's start talking about the program. You've put your stamp on the on the very brochure itself, right the way through it, and the cover of it. Do you want to tell us anything about that that image and the process of the brochure creation?
Well, when I discussed it with Beth and yourself, obviously because I'm a graphic artist, principally a graphic artist, it seemed obvious that I would want to have a presence in the graphic identity of the festival. So it was a great opportunity. And then, as you will recall, my original plan was to hand write every piece of text in the brochure. And then I woke up in the middle of the night, probably at the end of November, and thought, no. and so I think Georgina, who was doing the layout, used a typeface that had been made, and I was like, actually, that looks really good, because it had never been used before for an actual document. So we updated that typeface and made this rather peculiar brochure. But I was keen that because the brochure itself really is I guess the touchstone, for want of a better word, for everybody's accessing the festival. It's nice to make an intervention within that. That's a fine art word, intervention. That's what we do. So that was a great opportunity, and I think in collaboration with the designers at the festival, I think I'm very, very pleased with it. So I've made four pieces I'm involved in. I can't remember now.
There's five.
Five, right. So there's The Problem in Brighton, which is a performance piece at the Old Market on the 10th, 11th, and 12th, I think, of May. And that's going to... I wrote the libretto for an opera in 2011 in collaboration with a composer, and we had a chamber orchestra and some trained opera singers and some actors, and we made this bizarre comic opera. And then I something I've done before, but it was very much done with a director. So I really just wrote the words. So on this occasion, I wanted to make it a bit more rock and roll because I'd been making some guitars, electric guitars for another project, and I thought, well, yeah, why not? They were expensive. Let's use them again. And so we've made this sort of bizarre rock and roll thing, and I've made friends with a guy called Lee Baker, who's a visual artist and a very talented musician as well. So Lee's writing the piece, and then some other people I've met are going to be performing. And then we have two actors who are coming down from Glasgow who are in Pass the Spoon who are going to perform it. And the only thing that remains is for me to finish writing it, and that'll be great. but I've actually made the guitars, but I haven't quite finished writing the words, which is kind of curious way to go about it. Then there is The Life Model 2, which we've spoken about, which is a great opportunity to show that piece again at Fabrica, right in the centre of town. It's going to fit through the door. We've measured it. It's fine.
Excellent.
A Shit Odyssey, which is a fly-on-the-wall documentary about the making of Pass the Spoon, the opera that I've just mentioned. And it was made by Cara Connolly and Martin Clark, who are friends of mine, but documentary filmmakers, who are from the fine art world in Glasgow. So it was basically an opportunity to say to them, can we get this finished? I mean, it's only been 7 years since we did it. But so that's great. It's going to be on the Prince of Wales. So I think that'll be a voyage of discovery to see a slightly younger version of myself making a fool of myself. And it's a really interesting book because it's a really, really strange project. So that would be fantastic.
And actually, to jump in, it's also, for this morning's purpose, emblematic of a film program that we won't then talk about. But there's a whole film program behind it that is very exciting as well, of double bills and shorts from Oscar Bright, the learning disabled artist. So it's great that Shit Odyssey is there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Shit Odyssey, I should say, it was the original title of
the opera.
But the producer said, could we give it another title? Okay.
They come back.
Yes, exactly. So there's also, I'm giving a talk about my work, which will be a bit like this.
Except you promised the talk wouldn't be boring.
So it wouldn't be boring at all.
That's in the brochure, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Not boring. That's one of the critical things for any artistic endeavour, as far as I'm concerned.
We'll do our best.
I don't think anything in the festival is boring,
yeah,
as far as I'm aware, unless it's supposed to be boring.
And then, there is the symbol for boring on the back of the brochure, but I don't think we applied it to anything in the end.
No. And there's also the big book group, which Craig Melvin is hosting. He's done it quite a number of times. And Matt Haig and Jess Kidd, who are both Canongate authors. I think Matt Haig lives in Brighton. I'm not sure where Jess Kidd lives. But I think that will be really interesting because they're both really fantastic writers. And there's me as well, who isn't... I've got a new book out with Canongate, so it's I guess their marketing team will be have piles of books at that event, but I think it'll be a nice evening.
Absolutely. Look, thank you, because you have completely thrown yourself into the festival, which is really wonderful. And we're going to talk about a third of the program this morning. And there are 140 events, and I think we'll probably cover just under 50 of them, but these key events that you have brought feel incredibly special and have then infected and inflected the flavour of the festival throughout. So thank you for that. You've got some highlights as well that we've talked about, and would be great if you could give us a rundown of these five that you've particularly selected as standout events.
Yeah. Well, I guess when you're the guest director, I think some people, judging by the traffic from my website, assumed that I was programming everything in the festival, which obviously I'm not, because partly for the reason that it would spoil it for me if everything I chose everything, because I would be familiar with everything, and part of the joy of being a festival goer is that you discover things. So, but I guess contemporary, obviously art and contemporary music are my thing. To it, Deerhoof are doing collaboration with Stargaze. Deerhoof are a band from San Francisco, the real San Francisco in America, not this
We're
one.
We're recreating San Francisco.
Yeah. I did a record cover for them many years ago and became acquainted with them. They are one of the most amazing live bands you'll ever see. Really peculiar and interesting. And they're doing a collaboration with Stargaze, which I think is going to be really, really, really worth seeing. Malcolm Middleton and Ian Shaw are playing at the St. George's Church, and Malcolm used to be in a band called Arab Strap and has a very successful solo career. He's one of the best singer-songwriters that we have in the UK. Ian Shaw is another singer-songwriter in a more of a folk tradition. He and I are collaborating on an album at the moment, so I've written a bunch of really stupid lyrics and he interprets them into songs that actually sound really good. He's going to be playing tonight. He's coming down from Glasgow today, which will be great. And Malcolm and I have also collaborated on a few things over the years. I've done some artwork for him and we made a spoken word record together a few years ago. Ezra Furman, he was somebody who I haven't seen play, but I've got all his records. Basically, you asked me for a list, and I just wrote on it who I wanted to see. So,
cool. He's had the privilege of guest directorship.
Yeah, sure. I mean, everybody, by all accounts, he's an amazing performer, but he's a brilliant songwriter. Bridget Christie, likewise, I'd only seen a sort of vignette of her performance, and I missed it when she was in Edinburgh a couple of years ago when she won an award. So I thought, yeah, I'll just bring the mountain to Muhammad, as it were, me being Muhammad. And her being the mountain. Brett Goodroad is a friend of mine. Oddly, he's also from San Francisco. Brett and I were on a residency program together in 2013. And he's a really nice guy and we became friends, but he's a super talented painter, also works with drawing and printmaking. I don't think he's ever shown outside the US. He's perhaps a bit younger than me, early 40s. Just a really, really interesting visual artist. So it's been a night. Originally, Brett wanted me to come and show in San Francisco. And I thought, well, I've shown in San Francisco before, but you've never shown in the UK. So why don't you come here and do a show? So that's great. That's going to be on the Phoenix, something I'm really looking forward to.
I love that you're using the festival as a platform for introducing other artists. That's really special for us, and I think audiences will get a huge amount out of that. So thank you.
The Brighton Festival 2018. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival Hour.